The Brad Sesmat Show, broadcasting live from the Skyview Network Studios.
Thanks for being with us. Looking forward to having Ben Utek on today. Ben played in the NFL with the Colts, was Peyton Manning's tight end. Ben had concussions. Ben has penned a book about it. Ben has sung the national anthem. He's a musician. He has an interesting story to tell, doing a deep dive with Ben Utek. Also today, Sandy Charles will be with Michael Fabiano, all things around fantasy football, the fantasy football focus. And if you have not heard today what's going on in the NFL, where COVID finally hit the NFL, there's got to be some angles there, I'm sure, that Sandy will talk to Michael about. Opening comments are brought to you by Desert Financial Credit Union. Desert Financial Credit Union, in these times, are you where you need to be with the people that are helping you financially? Meaning, when you stop into the credit union, are they there on your side? Desert Financial Credit Union can help you out, not just with your business like they do with Sports 360 AZ, but also on a personal side too. Desert Financial Credit Union, great people right here next door, neighbors to you around the valley. Desert Financial Credit Union, we do appreciate their support. Eric Sorensen is with us. What's new? What do you know?
Not much. It's Tuesday.
It's Tuesday. Did you watch the game last night? Monday Night Football?
Did not watch a lot of it. I saw the highlights. I was out at high school, so I did not get to see much of the Monday Night game.
So I watched most of it, and you know, for the longest time, ESPN has lost me with the amount of broadcast crews that they have tried. And I'm not one of those guys that says, boy, I have to hear what Tony Romo has to say when the Raiders are playing the Patriots, because it's going to be a good game. It's nice to have Tony Romo there. It's not faulty, not bagging on him. But I found myself last night listening to Steve Levy, Louis Riddick, and Brian Griese just a little bit closer. And I don't know about you, but I kind of like Louis Riddick. And Bob Griese's kid, Brian, he's fine. And Steve Levy is pretty unassuming. You know, there's some guys that have sat in that Monday Night Football chair that just sound like, I am the most important thing on the face of the planet. It's like, no, you're not. You're calling a football game. Relax. You know, I mean, where are you at on announcers?
I think it's great hearing Joe Tessitore back on the college side, because that is really what fits him. Joe Tessitore has always been, just to me, a nice parallel and a symbol of college football. And when he went to the Monday night booth and with Booger and all that, it just didn't. Obviously, the synergy was not great, and they never really meshed. I'm not the biggest of Steve Levy fans. I think Brian Griese, I'm in lockstep with you. I think Brian Griese's fine. I think Louis Riddick brings something to the broadcast that the other two don't.
The guy I thought was funny last night, I know you didn't see it, but he kept referring to Patrick Mahomes as Pat. So they come back from a break in like the third quarter, and Pat Mahomes' mom tweeted at them, I'm tired of this guy calling my son Pat. Please stop or help me out, ESPN. It was very funny. It's like, it was innocent, you know, and he was. Louis Riddick was saying repeatedly, yeah, Pat needs to do this, and Pat needs to do that. And Patrick Mahomes' mom is losing her mind over it. So I thought that was just a cool little moment.
And there does need to be a difference, because Patrick Mahomes' dad obviously was a Major League Baseball pitcher, and he was a professional athlete as well. So you do need to separate Patrick Mahomes from Pat Mahomes.
You know? But you and I are on the backside of our 30s and 20s, and they're trying to get that 18 to 34-year-old dude. They're trying to get baseball cap wearing backwards dude to watch them again, I think. And I wasn't put off by it. I just thought it was funny that the mom got involved. And that's the beauty of social media. Gosh knows how many moms. Have you had an upset mom doing this gig yet? Mom got mad at you?
I'm sure. I can't think of one off the top of my head. But we've been doing this long enough that I'm sure I've pissed off somebody. So.
Yeah, I mean, I had a wife of someone about 3 weeks ago get into me. That hadn't happened in a while. And there were coaches' wives are the worst, because they are this there to protect their husband, and their husband can do no wrong. And I've had coaches' wives get after me when it's like, it's not what I said. Well, that's what my friend said. Of course. let's sit around the campfire and whisper into somebody's ear and see if it comes back right, you know?
I think now, especially Brad, everyone is a little on edge to begin with. So
yeah.
Give people a little bit more leniency and a pass if they become a little edgy about stuff. So
I'm going to watch the debate tonight. There's no sports tonight other than the baseball playoffs. And there's a lot of baseball playoffs tonight. There's just a ton of baseball playoffs.
Will it be a debate? This is just a yes-no question. That's all I'm asking. Will it be a debate?
So what are you suggesting, that Trump will just steamroll Biden?
And I'm not suggesting anything. I just asked you a yes or no question. Is it going to be a debate tonight?
There will be parts of it where there will be a debate.
Okay, that's fair enough.
There will be parts of it. I think if it's moderated well, and the moderator tonight has had his dust-ups. Goody and I talked about this last Thursday. Did a whole segment on it. And look, if you're a sports fan, I get it. You know, you're watching this show, but all of us, I think, the 800-pound gorilla over in the corner is the election is coming. It's 5 weeks away. And who knows what things are going to look like in the next 5 weeks. And there are all these people that haven't decided which way they're going to vote. And even though you hear from both sides that have got it figured out, there's
right.
this group right there in the middle that is saying, I'm not sure I'm going to vote. So they're going to watch tonight. Like the numbers came out, Eric, for Cowboys Seahawks. 22.7 million viewers watch Cowboys Seahawks Sunday afternoon. I think tonight's debate will top that number. I do.
I think so. Oh, I think so for sure. For sure.
Now, when I see the 22.7 million people watching Cowboys Seahawks, I have to wonder how many thousands were watching Cardinals against Lions. But that's just me. And I'm not picking on the Cardinals or the Lions, but, you know, we had another healthy dose of Dick Stockton and Brady Quinn on Sunday.
I hope tonight is a debate and not a lecture, but my guess is it's probably going to turn into a lecture, but let's hope it's a debate. So.
Well,
I don't want to get political. I don't even really want to.
No, I'm not going to get political. I'm not going to get political, but it's the role of the moderator. And Bill brought up a good point that when Trump debated Hillary, he started walking behind her on stage while she was talking. And, you know, and if you're someone who's going to vote for Trump, you're going to say, oh, damn right he did. Well, that's really not decorum in debates. Well, what do you mean it's not decorum? It's just the way it is. Well, no, it's not. So you're going to have two guys act like grown-ups and do their thing. And if they spar, and they're going to spar, there's no question they're going to spar. And are we going to get a lot of one guy just saying, oh, no, that's not how it is? Are we going to get another guy calling somebody names? And is that how it's going to be? And is there going to be a moderator who says, guys, out of the playpen and let's talk? That's what I'm looking forward to.
I would think everything you just said is probably going to happen. You're going to probably see a little bit of everything tonight.
Yeah. And so, you know, like the baseball playoffs tonight, I'm really not interested in the American League, but I do want to see, like, the Brewers and Dodgers play tomorrow, and Cody Bellinger's not been good this year. For the first time in the postseason in a long time, how can you not root for them wearing their Taco Bell uniforms? I mean, how can you just not love? And Goldschmidt's out there for St. Louis against San Diego tomorrow.
Yeah, the Padres are a very likable team because they just make baseball fun, and baseball needs more fun. So, good.
Are you going to watch? Are you going to watch?
Probably not a ton. I mean, I really don't have a dog in the fight. I'll probably have it on, but I don't think I'm going to plan my nights around it. So
there's so many games now with these expanded playoffs too. That's the other side of it, is they're going to be games on today all day, and they're American League games. And like, I'm trying to find the fascination for me to watch Astros Twins today. I don't have that. Tomorrow night I'm going to watch Lakers Heat. I'm going to watch that to me is really good. And
sure.
Now with this NFL stuff happening with COVID hitting the Titans, you know, is this going to be where the league does have those bye weeks in place? And are we going to have a disjointed, just like what we've seen out of college football? So,
but they don't have, I don't know if the NFL has the flexibility to give some teams bye weeks and I guess you would just have to figure out a way to redo the schedule, but that would be quite a mess. Yeah. So
no, I agree with you. It's not like baseball where you can just say, okay, let's play. You can't have a football game on a Tuesday and another football game on a Thursday.
Sure. Exactly.
I understand exactly what you're saying. It hasn't hit the NFC West yet. And hopefully it doesn't hit the NFC West, because the NFC West so far, like we're talking to Peter King later this week, the 49ers have 10 players on injured reserve. And they're 2-1. I know they beat two lousy teams in New York City. That's pretty darn good for where they are. And the storylines around the NFL, like last night, why Lamar Jackson cannot beat Kansas City, I don't know. But he can't. And Patrick Mahomes last night was just having a field day in the first half. It's just like, okay, is anybody going to get to him? Our guy Calais Campbell got to him a couple times, and he still escaped. He's amazing. Yep.
The poor ESPN. They had all the buildup, and it was supposed to be this great game, and these two elite quarterbacks, and great versus great, and the game was over like pretty early, and the rest of the night was kind of a dud. And Lamar Jackson didn't show, and Patrick Mahomes showed out, but you get that from time to time.
All right, we've got Ben Utek next, and then we're going to have Sandy and Michael Fabiano on the Fantasy Football Focus. Stay with us. Let's turn our attention for a couple of minutes, as we are apt to do from time to time. I like to talk about the inspiration side of football and also the concussion side of it as well. You can never just put this off to the side and pretend that it's all gone away and everything is hunky-dory, because it's not. It's always there. Ben Utek is with us, former Indianapolis Colts, Cincinnati Bengal, tight end in the league. He is out of the league, but he is in a big way helping out because his love of the game continues, as his love for his family. There's a book that you guys should pick up. It's called Counting the Days While My Mind Slips Away, a love letter to my family that Ben has put together. He has BenUtekSpeaks.com. He has done TED Talks. He's very passionate on this subject. I just wanted to have him on for a few minutes to catch up on how are you, why this, the whole thing in post-NFL life. For many guys, Ben, I'll talk with them, and I feel like they're lost souls, for lack of a better term.
Yeah.
You found your passion. Let's start with where you're at today in the book.
Well, man, the book was an interesting journey, because I didn't expect it. You know, like you said, transitioning out of the NFL for many is a challenge. You know, I was blessed to grow up in a family that really taught me more about my identity, and I knew where I wanted to go. I had no idea, though, that that I would be pulled into this philanthropic world for athlete brain health. And really, the book came about to be a voice of vulnerability. I think, you know, for players, that's really tough, especially, as you know, Brad, for athletes that are currently playing. I mean, to talk about these things openly is difficult. At best. And so the book gave me a chance to just to be a vulnerable voice, to talk about the things that scare me the most about the future, hence the title of the book, and some of the memory issues that I was having, which led me to retire early. But it's been, you know, it's been a rewarding philanthropic pathway for me to really help people that are going through a lot of difficult times.
How many concussions do you think you had?
Well, there were 5 documented concussions. Sure. And, you know, obviously getting your bell rung, seeing stars. So you go back and you do your best to count. And I've never really been able to put a number to it like some other players have, but it was definitely more than 5. I mean, there were probably a few to a handful in the NFL that I knew were concussions, but kept my mouth shut, because you know you want to be there for your teammates, and you want to be there for your coaches and for the organization.
Yeah, the documentation side is always one, Ben, I found, where players, when you peel the onion back when they're done playing, they'll say, I had dozens and dozens. I just didn't want to say anything, or it may not have been, or it was the term, the bell rung, and so on. And this is not bashing on football. This is not an attack on football on your part. This is just, guys, here's what I went through, and I want to inspire you to keep playing the game. Am I going down the right path on this?
Yeah, I've always been very clear that I have a pro brain, pro game message. That's why the NFL Players Association had me speak to Congress. You know, I've been a voice of vulnerability, but one who is in parallel always trying to elevate the game, because the game of football provided life lessons for me and relationships that are priceless. And I wouldn't be who I am today if it wasn't for the National Football League. And so I think the best way to get done what we want to for athlete health and wellness is to do both, to be advocates for player safety and health, but also to talk about all of the incredible fruit that comes out of playing this wonderful game.
When did you first think, hey, something's not right? What was the warning sign?
Yeah, so I write about, to the best of my ability, write about the concussions that I faced. The fourth concussion that I faced in Indianapolis resulted in a diagnosis of amnesia. And that was eerie, because as I went into the facility the next day, I remember going in to watch the injury happen on film. And so I see my body go unconscious and limp on the turf. I'm probably unconscious for 10 to 15 seconds. Players surround me. And then all of a sudden I regain consciousness, and I hop up on my feet, and I'm high-fiving everybody, and I'm sprinting off to the sidelines where I'm talking to my coaches. And you know, Brad, I have no recollection of any of that. The rest of that day is completely gone. And so that was the first time that I ever actually realized that moments from my life were removed, like erasing a blackboard. And even though I'm watching myself function completely, there's just nothing there. And after that concussion is when my wife and I started noticing some cognitive changes in my working memory, short and long term functioning. And but again, I was having a great season and went on to sign a great deal with Cincinnati. So you kind of just check it off as being a part of the game. And, you know, so that's kind of where we were at that point.
And today, Ben, if you want to peel the onion way back, and if you don't, I get it. But are there things today where it's, I don't remember what I did yesterday or a week? I run into former NFL players that say they've got to put their address in their pocket because they don't remember where they live. And there's others that I will not put on the air because I just simply don't want to embarrass them. And these are well-known named players, and I'm not going to throw them out here. But are you in that space yet?
No, and honestly, it really became the miracle of the book. You know, the book kind of has this ominous title, but the story in and of itself is pretty miraculous. As I was writing with my co-writer, I was also in a very intensive brain training program that was built by a company called Learning RX, and I was in a 3-month, 100-hour, very intensive program. I spent an hour and a half a day, Monday through Thursday, brain training with a physical trainer sitting across the table from me. Wow. And it completely brought me out of this concussion fog that I was in, Brad. I mean, if you saw my pre and post neuropsych evaluation, you wouldn't believe it. And I've had so many people say, gosh, you know, we read your book, we expected to talk with you that you were going to have problems. But I'm probably stronger cognitively now than I've ever been. And it's because I took the initiative to strengthen my cognitive weaknesses caused, I believe, from years of just head-on-head trauma. And so currently I'm in a really good place, and it's a part of my message, especially to players, is to seek these types of treatments because they are there.
Counting the days while my mind slips away, a love letter to my family with Ben Utek. Ben Utek speaks.com if you want to get more information on Ben and what it's all about. So do you do things on a daily basis to work your brain?
Yes. So after spending the last, you know, 6-7 years in the world of neurology, I've had a chance to be surrounded by some of the best neurological minds in the world and just learn more about the brain and especially neural pathways and the neural pathways that we create that provide the channels for us to have information. Brad, they don't atrophy like a muscle. So it's a much slower process than if you were to stop working out and what you would see in your physical body. And so I've been able to really go on a maintenance program where I can check in monthly and really keep the level of cognition where it needs to be. And that's something that I'm going to do annually every year, because, you know, if I'm one of those players that does have a diagnosis in the future, which I pray I don't, but if I do, I want to do whatever I can now to build as strong of neural pathways and cognition that I can to fight those days ahead.
You talk about the value that exists in the meaning of the moment. Talk about that a little bit.
Well, when you start realizing what it's like to not remember, you begin to look at your life differently, and you begin to understand what really makes you relevant in this world, what makes you matter. And the only thing that really I could come to the conclusion that makes you relevant is what you can remember. It's your memories. And that was kind of a fork in the road for me, because I had a choice to make. Am I going to allow myself to wallow in self-pity and depression and fear, or do I take this new belief, ideology that memory really makes me who I am, and do I use that to improve myself as a husband and as a father, as a business leader, because every single moment is a memory that creates my significance as a human being. And it's just made me live every moment to the fullest. And I don't do it perfectly. Just ask my wife and four daughters, but I try to the best of my ability, because, you know, as you know, you've already mentioned this, you listen to the stories that some of these players are going through, and you realize, oh my gosh, you know, as those memories fade, you know, that's really the identity of a human being. And so that's really, I think, the focus of my MVP message.
When you do a TED talk, what's your message when you're on stage? Because a lot of business people watch what we do, and it's a different lens than just catch football, run to the end zone and locker room and all that. When you're doing TED talks, what's that like?
Well, that was an incredible experience. You know, my primary speaking topic, Brad, to the Fortune 5 is really leadership development and culture development through the lens of servant leadership and what I learned being on a Super Bowl championship team with Tony Dungy. But when I got asked to do the TED talk, it was really focusing more on my identity as a man through the struggle of concussion. And that topic really revolves around, what does it mean to be an MVP? Not only in sports, but in life, right? Mm-hmm. And that is that memory, value, and purpose, right? The more we realize that our memories are what make us who we are, the more we value every one of those moments in our lives, and the more purpose we have than every day. And that's also a lesson for us as not only as humans and family members, friends, but also as business leaders, because purpose really drives performance.
You sang the national anthem last year. And, you know, when I saw that clip, like, that, for lack of a better term, that's a badass moment, Ben, because here's someone that has had brain trauma. Here's someone that decides, I'm going to walk out in front of 60,000. And yes, it was in Indianapolis. And yes, they love you there. But still, to belt out the anthem, where you've been and where you are and where you're going, how did that come about? And what was that like, just from a self-confidence? Hey, man, I can go out in front of, I can go do TED Talks. I can go sing the anthem. This whole brain trauma thing, I got it.
Yeah. Well, it's always fun to break stereotypes. And listen, I mean, you've had Terry Bradshaw has put out an album, as you remember. Yeah. And so, you know, there's always this stereotype, right? Oh, another singing athlete. But for me, it's been an equal passion to sports. I grew up vocally trained. My dad was a vocal music major. And so I grew up with training, and I began performing professionally in college. And so the funny story, the ironic story is that when I went to Indianapolis as a rookie, I got brought on by the team with a pretty serious injury. So I actually had to sit out the first year. But for the very first preseason football game, Bill Polian agreed to have me sing the national anthem. So the Indianapolis sports market saw me first as a singer and not actually as a tight end.
That's great.
So that was, yeah, no, but what a special song. You know, you always hear singers say that it's the most difficult song to sing. For me, it's the easiest song to sing. I love it. I think that, you know, the patriotism behind it is truly powerful. And, you know, especially when you're in front of 60,000-70,000 people, it's hard to put into words what it feels like.
Last question, I'll get you out of here, and that is,
no problem.
Have you given thought to where am I going now? What am I going to look like when I'm 50, 60, 70?
Man, you know, that, Brad, I think that is the question. I think that's the question for most players, because it's directly connected to identity. And mm-hmm. I'd be lying to you if I haven't gone through somewhat of an identity crisis of my own as I've tried to figure out what is next. And you know, your whole life is a sport. And then all of a sudden, in a moment, it's gone. And you really have to land on a foundation that gives you true meaning. And so for me, on the personal side, it's, like I said, it's waking up every day and realizing how blessed I am to have my wife and to have my four daughters and to understand the role that I play in their lives as a husband and a father. And then really as a man of faith, I'm constantly trying to seek out opportunities to serve. Mm. And I'm hoping that, that the doors continue to open for me to do that in business. I think one of the things that I've really enjoyed is taking this belief system that Tony Dungy created mm-hmm. in Indianapolis and bringing that into the corporate marketplace, because you're going to have a culture by design or default. So why not design it? Why not choose it and allow it to be something that that supports the health and well-being of your entire corporate team and allows them to succeed? And that, so I'm hoping that that's kind of where my path continues to go. And I don't have a football player in the house, so I'm kind of surrounded by girls that love volleyball and tennis and golf. And so
nothing wrong with that.
Nothing wrong with that. It's yeah. It's awesome.
Good for you. I really appreciate the time and the insight. The name of the book is Counting the Days While My Mind Slips Away, A Love Letter to My Family. Ben Utech, go to benutechspeaks.com. Thanks for the time.
Thanks, Brad.
Hey, everyone. I'm Sandy Charles, and I'm joined by Sports Illustrated's senior fantasy analyst, Michael Fabiano, talking all things fantasy football. But first, with the news this morning that came down that the Titans have 8 positive COVID cases, 3 with players, 5 with front office, how are you approaching this, or is it just too soon?
I think you need to be prepared to not have your Titans this week and maybe your Steelers, because that is their opponent. There's also been some talk about the Vikings and the Texans, although the Vikings had no positive cases. So that's a good thing. And the NFL expected this. There was no way we were going to get through this season without some sort of COVID situation. And now we're going to have to deal with it. So whether or not they alternate the schedule, they postpone, whatever the case may be, fantasy fans ahead of waiver wire Tuesday certainly need to be looking at things as if, well, I might not have Big Ben this week. I might not have Juju or James Conner or Derrick Henry or Jonnu Smith this week, and make your waiver claims accordingly.
Now let's get to those waiver wire ads. Who are the waiver wire ads that people need? Let's start. We'll break it down by position. Let's start with wide receiver.
A wide receiver, Justin Jefferson, is going to be a massive ad. He had a huge game last week. It was like he was back at LSU. 175 yards, a touchdown, over 30 fantasy points. He had just 5 catches on 6 targets in the first 2 games. I don't know why Minnesota waited to unleash him, but whatever, it is what it is. That's probably going to end up being his best game of the year, not to be a negative Nancy, but I do think he is an obvious ad this week, although the matchup is not great against the Texans, assuming that game goes off without a hitch, but still worth adding. Alan Lazard is a massive pickup. He should have been already picked up. Now, I play in leagues with a lot of sharks, so typically dudes are not available in my leagues. But in home leagues, Lazard will be available in some. And he's got a really good matchup upcoming against Atlanta. It's a Monday night game. So even if Davante Adams comes back, I still think Lazard is startable. Brandon Ayuk had a nice game for the Niners last week. And Debo Samuel might be back this week. It's too early in the week to know. But he also is in the mix there against Philadelphia. Not sure I'd start him, but certainly worth adding. T. Higgins, also 2 touchdowns, played very well. Cincinnati made John Ross a healthy scratch. Higgins came in 21 fantasy points, better than A.J. Green, who's been a disappointment so far this season. Some other guys, Cole Beasley, although the matchup's tough this week, Hunter Renfrow, Andy Isabella, Braxton Berrios. Whoever the slot receiver is for the Jets gets targeted. If they added Wayne Corbett and signed him out of retirement, he'd get 7 targets this week. Like, it's just ridiculous. Greg Ward, also worth a look with the Eagles passing game all banged up. Deshaun Jackson's been a disappointment. Mm-hmm. Dallas Goedert's out now as well. We already know Alshon Jeffrey's not going to be back at this point. So Ward, worth a look. And then James Washington, assuming that game goes down with Deontay Johnson's concussion, a issue. If Deontay can't play this week and the Steelers actually do play a game, then James Washington should be on your radar.
Yeah, it was a big weekend for those rookie wide receivers in Jefferson and Ayuk. So they're on the rise. Now let's move to running back.
So Chris Carson got hurt against the Cowboys. And like, I'm a Cowboys fan. I'm mad about our defense stinks. But that was a Bush League move, that Gator roll. And Carson now has got the knee sprain. Not sure if he's going to play this week. So Carlos Hyde needs to be added across the board, especially if you have Carson, just in case, right? Rex Burkhead, who was one of my sleepers last week, massive game, 3 touchdowns, almost 35 fantasy points, probably going to be the best game he has all year long. But until James White is back and until Damian Harris is back, then Rex Burkhead needs to be owned and potentially started. They've got Kansas City this week. That'll be a high scoring affair. Miles Gaskin, like, this guy is not a superstar player. He had 27 touches last week. And Miami is not giving Matt Breida or Jordan Howard nearly enough snaps, nearly enough touches. So Gaskin's the guy who needs to be owned. Jeff Wilson Jr., another sleeper of mine last week, 2 touchdowns, almost 22 fantasy points. Raheem Mostert, status still uncertain. Tevin Coleman on IR. So Wilson and Jerick McKinnon are going to be the backs to own there in San Francisco. Devonta Freeman didn't really play a whole heck of a lot in his first game of the season. Eventually, I think he's going to be the starter for the Giants and end up being maybe a flex starter, although he could be washed at this point in his career. But the Giants stink. They're going to throw the ball a lot in the second half, and Freeman's a good pass catcher, so he needs to be added. And then if you have Todd Gurley, who had a good game last week, Brian Hill looks like he is his handcuff, and Hill was pretty good last week with a very nice touchdown run against the Chicago Bears.
And we are talking wires. Let's move it to quarterback. Who should the quarterback add be for waiver wire?
Ryan Fitzpatrick is very disrespected in the fantasy industry. He was tremendous in the second half of last season. He's had 24 plus points in 2 straight games this season. He proved that the beard is more powerful than the mustache, right? Against Gardner Minshew, who was a bust last week. And Fitzpatrick's got a good matchup this week against Seattle. Their defense has been gashed by quarterbacks, and Jamal Adams is hurt. So Fitzpatrick is a startable asset. Nick Foles came in and in less than a half had 3 touchdowns against Atlanta. He's got a bad matchup this week against Indianapolis, but still Foles is rosterable, especially in 2 QB and Superflex leagues. Same sort of thing with Kirk Cousins. He was good last week. The week before he was awful. The matchup this week is not great against Houston on the road, but he's certainly worth adding as a QB2. Joe Burrow should be owned in most leagues. He should be. But in home leagues, he might be out there floating around. Don't know why. Go out and get him. And the matchup this week is very good against Jacksonville. Nick Mullins is usable in a 2QB or super flex league against the Eagles. He was very good last week against the Giants. I don't know what's going on with Denver's quarterback situation. Jeff Driscoll got replaced last week in the second half. But if he gets the start and you are desperate in a larger 2QB league, he's got the Jets this week on Thursday night, and the Jets stink. And then Justin Herbert, I know Anthony Lynn keeps telling us, well, when Tyrod comes back, he'll be the starter. In fantasy land, we don't want that because Herbert has been elevating the status of Austin Eckler and Keenan Allen, for example. So we don't really want Tyrod back, although we feel terrible about what happened to him. That was just an odd situation there. But Herbert, also worth a look. The matchup's not great this week against Tampa Bay, though.
And lastly, tight ends. Who should the people add?
Not a ton out there. Jimmy Graham had a very strong game, 10 targets, 2 touchdowns against Atlanta. The matchup's not great this week, but he does have 3 touchdowns in 3 weeks. So even though we're going a little back to the future there with Graham, he's involved. He's been utilized in the red zone, so he's worth adding. Mo Alie-Cox only had 3 targets last week, but he had 3 catches and 50 yards and a touchdown, 14-plus points in 2 straight games. And Jack Doyle was active last week, didn't see a single target. So maybe the torch is being passed in Indianapolis. Drew Sample, and I know he didn't have a good game last week, but the NFL is a week-to-week game. It is a week-to-week sport. What happened last week doesn't necessarily mean anything for the coming weeks as it pertains to point production. And the matchup this week is pretty good against Jacksonville. So Drew Sample also worth a look off the wire. Most of the other tight ends are probably owned across the board. Robert Tonyan is worth a look maybe in a deeper league if you get tight end premium scoring. He's got a nice matchup. He scored this past week against the Saints, and they've got Atlanta this week as well. So he's also going to be worth a look off the wire. And if Dalton Schultz didn't get picked up, the Cowboys tight end, he's got a really good matchup this week. Cleveland has not been great against tight ends, and he still saw 6 targets despite a tough matchup against Seattle last week and Jamal Adams. And the week before he had 10. So, and Dak Prescott's in the top 10 in pass attempts to tight ends. So Dalton Schultz also worth a look if you need help at the tight end position. I think he probably is owned, but he might not be.
As always, I'm joined by Sports Illustrated's senior fantasy analyst, Michael Fabiano. Michael, let's jump into it. You did touch on the Bears quarterback, Nick Foles. Now with him in, how does that change your approach to all the weapons that the Bears have, specifically Allen Robinson and David Montgomery? How are you approaching them?
I don't think it changes Montgomery's value very much. The fact that Tariq Cohen's going to be out could maybe mean a little bit more in terms of the passing game. Just the matchup this week is bad. Indianapolis' defense is good. They played very, very well so far this season. I mean, you could say, yeah, I mean, they played Sam Darnold and he stinks, but you know, they held the Kirk Cousins to negative fantasy points. And that's not easy to do. So the matchup there this week for the Bears is not great. I think this is a good thing for Allen Robinson. It's a good thing for the wide receivers. It's a good thing for Jimmy Graham. I'm not a big fan of Mitchell Trubisky. I don't think he's that good of a quarterback. And the real issue here is how long can Foles avoid injuries, because he's had some issues with durability in the past. But it's a good thing for the Bears wide receivers and tight ends. And Montgomery, again, could see some more opportunities as a pass catcher, probably a flex starter this week, but I just don't like that matchup.
Now, you touched a little bit on defense, but who are some of the best defenses right now? Are there any?
From an NFL perspective, right, there's no dominant defenses anymore. And part of the reason is because the rules in the NFL favor the offensive so much. I mean, it's unreal. But Baltimore has got one of the top defenses in the league, and Patrick Mahomes ripped them apart. I mean, that's Patrick Mahomes. Mahomes is going to be a guy who's going to rip up most defenses, right? But even Pittsburgh. Now, Pittsburgh's got one of the most talented defenses in the league. Jeff Driscoll had his way with them a couple of weeks ago at Heinz Field, right? And Deshaun Watson, we expect good things from him. You know, he had an okay game, started off well. Second half wasn't nearly as effective, but Pittsburgh can be had too. So even though, and San Francisco's defense is all banged up right now. I mean, they're an absolute mess. They're having the benefit of playing really crappy teams. Like, they played the Jets and the Giants 2 weeks in a row. I mean, if you put the Jets and the Giants teams together, you might get 2 wins. They stink. Both of them stink. I feel bad for Daniel Jones because I really liked him coming into the season, but you lose Saquon. Sterling Shepard's hurt. The offensive line is not gelled, and it's been really tough sledding for Daniel Jones at this point. But in terms of the defenses, you're still playing the matchups every single week. Obviously, there are going to be defenses who are going to be tougher against certain opponents. So, for example, this week, Baltimore, right? That defense is still pretty good. It's still a very good defense. And so you have to beware of, say, a guy like Antonio Gibson or a guy like Terry McLaurin, probably still starting both of those players. But the fact of the matter is, there isn't that like 85 Bears. You know, there's not that Tampa Bay Buccaneers Super Bowl defense out there. There isn't that in the league right now. Part of the reason is maybe no preseason and offenses are just ahead of the curve after a very strange offseason and no preseason. But also the rules in the NFL, they're gearing towards more points, right? I mean, in baseball, what do they say? Chicks love the home runs, right? Well, is that what they say? But in football, you know, we all love points. We all love to score, see points being scored. And a lot of folks out there think that, you know, 10-7 games are boring. I think they're great. I like good defense. But from a fantasy perspective, it's nice to see all those points being scored.
Now, lastly, after 3 weeks, anyone you're targeting in trades?
You want to be looking at buying low, right, at this point. So if you look at some of the players out there, like I'd go after Christian McCaffrey because right now, I know he's going to miss 4 to 6 weeks, but right now his price tag's probably pretty low comparatively, right? No one's going to trade McCaffrey when he's healthy, but if the team that has CMC is just hurting at running back without him, and maybe you have some depth at that position and you could throw him an offer, maybe he'll take it. Right. And so McCaffrey is somebody that I would be looking to see if I could acquire. And you also have to make sure that acquiring McCaffrey is not going to hurt your bottom line because you're going to be without him for the next month or so. But I think McCaffrey is certainly a player that I would be taking a look at in terms of some other players off the top of my head. Raheem Mostert's banged up right now. Somebody might be otherwise inclined to potentially make a trade if they didn't get Jeff Wilson and or Tevin Coleman off, or excuse me, Jerick McKinnon off the waiver wire. So I target the teams that have the biggest holes to fill. So I don't know if there's necessarily anyone in particular I'm targeting. Like I would love to get Jonathan Taylor right now. I'd love to. He didn't have a great game last week. I'd love to get him. I don't think anybody's going to trade him to me, right? You may go in and make an inquiry to the owner who's got Lamar Jackson. Lamar Jackson has not been great so far. He had a good week one. His last 2 weeks have stunk based on his high expectations. So you may want to do that. Heck, there's folks out there, and I talked about this on my show last night. If you have Russell Wilson and somebody offered you Lamar Jackson, would you take it? The crazy thing is that you probably wouldn't. And Lamar Jackson was a top 20, top 30 pick, and Russell Wilson was probably what? Seventh, eighth rounder in a lot of leagues. That's how quickly things can change in fantasy football and then in the National Football League. So for me, I don't know if it's necessarily any players because as I mentioned, like with the Jonathan Taylor, I'd love to have him. I don't think anybody's going to trade him to me. Go out and look for the teams that are hurting at wide receiver or hurting at running back. And if you can help them and end up getting a guy, even like a McCaffrey who may not help you now, but could help you during the stretch run of the playoffs, it's certainly worth something that it's certainly worth doing at this point.
Awesome. That was a great point. As always, thank you so much, Michael Fabiano with Sports Illustrated. He is the senior fantasy analyst, and I am Sandy Charles.